1 minute and 8 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of you. Thank you, Scotty. God bless you. Thank you.
Was that just a pee stick that went in there?
What? Here's what you just said. It's
back. Maybe my microphone is not working properly. How is it now?
There it is. Okay, it's better.
Oh. Sound right. Good.
Okay. What?
I just thought a beatnik walked in here.
Totally. Well, we'll get this. We'll fix Scotty in just a second. We'll get to his new. Scotty's got an exciting new look, everybody. And by exciting, I mean, I really don't know what I mean.
You can't start off the show being that mean to Scotty. Did someone mess with our microphones? Do I sound weird?
No, the processing sounds a little different.
People messed with everything while we were gone.
It doesn't sound bad. My processing sounds fine, and that's really what matters here. The overriding issue here
of course,
how Rick Emerson sounds.
Yes.
Lara gave me $10 last night not to talk about myself in the third person.
I pity her.
Man, it was sweet.
She has to pay you to get you to not talk about yourself?
The easiest $10 I ever made. Wait, no, what's today? Today's Tuesday? No, it's Sunday. It was New Year's Eve. On New Year's Eve, she paid Rick Emerson $10 to never speak of himself in the third person. Rick Emerson made a 10 spot as easily as he ever has done. Hey, it's New Year's. It's 2007. We're here. It's 2 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11. I'll just do this part again. Just to reestablish the fact that we are live, ladies and gentlemen. In the month of January in the year of our Lord, 2007, live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by here, beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It does sound like somebody's been tweaking the processing a little bit. Doesn't sound bad, though.
No, it doesn't. Oh, I don't think there's anything on mine at all.
No, Tim's mic needs to be turned up just a hair, I think.
I think so. It
sounds a little flat.
It's lacking of something.
You know, but we haven't been here in like 2 weeks, so how? I don't even remember how things are supposed to sound.
It doesn't matter. We're short timing it here anyway.
All right, don't scare the people.
No, in the studio.
Well, we're a radio station. We're always short-timing it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to unnerve everybody there. What I meant is that we're going to be changing studios here in a few weeks.
And it's because we do better than most of the talk shows.
Tim, don't jinx us.
Well, I was just... I was just commenting by the numbers.
I swore that I was going to be a better team player in 2007.
Well, we'll help the other team along.
Fantastic.
There's varsity and junior varsity. It appears that there's a large JV crowd.
It really is true.
But we were on the bench for so long that it really had that.
The JV team is importing some ringers, though. I'm sure that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking of anybody in particular. Of course, that would be wrong.
So,
let me give you the phone numbers. Hey, it's 2007. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. For your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, you what have you. Want to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Again, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickemerson.com. So we should clarify for the people that it is Tuesday, January 2nd, and we're here. And I don't even know where to start. And I'm assuming that, I don't know, a few minutes, I guess we'll have either Chris. I'm assuming it's still Aaron. I don't know what's changed in this new year and what hasn't. I don't know. We've been away for what seems like a goddamned eternity. And I did enjoy it after a while. Like, as of about 2 days ago, I started enjoying the time off. Just in time to sort of turn around and come back to work. For the first, like, how long have we been gone? It was 10 days?
At least, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, our last day was a Wednesday. Today is Tuesday. God damn, is it possible we were gone for almost 2 weeks? I've never voluntarily been gone for that long from anywhere, ever. Well, anyway, so we're back, and we'll see what's different and what's the same and what's what. And I know as much as a cliche as this has become on the program when I say that we got a lot of stuff to get to, and most of it is stuff that has just been piling up, really, now more than ever. That's just so unbelievably true. First of all, I got to tell you this. In the wake of having been gone since whatever the hell that was, the 20... like the 21st or whatever, that Wednesday before Christmas was our last day. We're never taking vacation again, ever. Ever?
Don't say that.
No one on this show. Well, no, we may be fired. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure we'll be fired at some point. I'm just saying it's right. None of us, no one's ever going on vacation again. Because clearly us being on the air is what keeps prominent figures alive in American life. Because as soon as we left, everybody
died. And in personal
died.
Life.
Sure. I'm so, oh,
yeah. Oh, it's all right.
Well, they're your grandparents. Yeah, if you're laughing, I'm allowed to laugh.
I've got the joy of losing not one, but two grandparents over this holiday season.
Avoiding the holiday rush for next year.
But it's all in 2006.
You stepped right on my grandmother dying joke there. All right. It was a bad... I don't mean to sound crass about this.
It was a bad holiday for me.
It was a bad month for grandmothers. I will say that. I know Sarah's grandmother passed away. I know. I won't use her names, but several of this weekend I was working with some people on kind of an outside project, and in the room there was two people whose grandparents had died the same week, and then there was some other the loss and some tragedy and some hay. It was a great year. I mean, for us, I mean, I'll say that 2006 was a pretty great year for us. It came back, and we have to do our little 30-second wrap-up of 2006 now because we weren't actually here to do it in 2006. But 2006 was great for us. We came back, and we did the show return. We did a bunch of great stuff. We had the party at Sabalas. We had the Horns Across the Hawthorne. We had the Lycus thing. We had the Scotty J joined the Rick Everson family, all of that. But then it just ended badly. I mean, the year, which I guess is fine. I mean, I'll take a 98% good year where it all just goes to crap in the final couple of weeks. That seems like a fair trade-off. And it all happened right around the time that we were on vacation, right around the time that we were off. Just everybody we knew, everything just went poorly. So, well, in any event. So, I don't even know where to start with the recap. Let me do this. Before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Help me.
A man with whom I spent New Year's Eve.
I can sit by the lake on Naboo.
I swear to God, sitting on Aaron's living room floor playing Tetris. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello, sir. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. Why, hello there.
Aaron?
Oh, sorry. Let me just put him on hold for a second. I'm sure that,
And here we are, speak of the glory of ourselves.
I heard something.
Maybe it's just his phone. Is he there, Scotty?
I heard static.
I did, too. Oh, that was promising.
Okay, Scotty claims he's there. Static. Hold on, let's pick him up again. Why, hello.
Hello.
Oh, thank God.
Yay.
Okay, sweet Jesus Almighty. What was up with that? Where were you at, dude?
I was right there. Scotty picked up, and I heard him loud and clear, and he heard me.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, you know what it is? Here's the thing. For the sake of decorum and my mental health, we're going to pretend that didn't happen just now. We're going to move along.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, that's exactly that. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm talking about. How are you, sir? How are you feeling the night after New Year's?
I'm doing well. You know, all things considered, I'm pretty good. I can't get the smell of little smokies and that isn't chilly out of my nose.
I got to tell you, man, you guys, and look, I don't, I know that I am the blackest of all pots to be speaking to any kettle. You guys really serve a lot of trashy food at your place.
We can get down with the trash if we want to.
And I bet you ate most of it.
Right? I did. No, now this was the centerpiece. I don't know what you all were eating on New Year's Eve or what the at your homes, what the sort of the food of choice was, the canapé or whatever of choice. At Aaron's, it was a huge block of cream cheese covered in canned Denison's chili, being eaten on wheat thins.
No, chicken and a biscuit.
And chicken and a biscuit crackers. That's what it was. Right, and it was put in a place of honor. It was put in a place of glory, right in the center of the table in the middle of the room.
In a vintage bowl, no less.
Right next to the ornately carved liquor cabinet. That's what it was. So there you go. It was good times for all.
You really shouldn't comment because multiple times I offered, Rick, would you like to sit down? And your exact words were no because the food's over here.
No, totally. Everybody else was kind of hanging out in the living room. And Aaron calls in from the living room on New Year's Eve because I'm at his apartment. He's like, hey, do you want to come over here? And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay right here by the Denison's chili and cream cheese with the wheat thins and chicken and a biscuit. You just don't mind me. So, yeah. No, it's fine. We'll talk more about... Yes?
Lara also has no room to get mad at you for speaking in the third person. Because I believe when Jen schooled her at Tetris, she said, the lot is just not used to this controller.
No, it is. No, that's the thing. She started... She had paid me $10 at the beginning of New Year's Eve not to talk about myself in the third person, but she did it relentlessly throughout the evening. I am aware of that.
Yes.
No, that did not escape my notice. All right, well, we're going to try to get back in the swing of things today. I honestly have no idea where I am push-up-wise, where I ended up, because it's like 2 weeks ago. So, you know what? I'll bite the bullet on this. I will just say, let's just say that I'm at 5. I know,
yeah,
I'm probably
I'm
below that.
I'm going to give you like a New Year's gift and just call it a clean slate.
You want to call it a clean slate? Well,
yeah,
Sarah's the one who has to. Sarah's the one who really has to weigh in on that.
That's okay. We can make it a clean slate.
And we're gonna make it a clean slate. And it is a clean slate today, more ways than one. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. We will do that. And from now on, and I propose this, from now on, all push-ups are tabulated, calculated, and paid off weekly. We are no longer carrying push-ups over from 1 week to another. What we will do is every day there will be items I tease, items I forward promote. For an each item not gotten to, I owe a push-up, and all push-ups, the account has to be settled at the end of the week. At the end of Friday's show, every week, the account has to be cleared out, and I got to do however many push-ups I owe. That's it. We can't do any more of this carrying over from 1 week to another. I will bite that bullet. So, all right. Well, here's what we got today. Everyone's dead. Dead, dead, dead. Everybody, everywhere. We will answer the magical question, how goddamn fat am I, after all? We will speak to political firecracker Bob Costantini.
Woo!
Yeah, I know. No. This is the year, though. This is the year that Bob finally comes out of his shell. It's going to happen. What else? We'll do all the stories that the other media outlets did last week, because I don't really care that much about being timely. So we'll talk about the news highlights of 2006, most TiVo'd moments of 2006. We will recap some of the celebrity deaths of 2006, and then we'll talk about how we all spent the final moments of 2006. We've got that. We'll talk about the exciting holiday activities, and we will discuss vehicular fun of all varieties. So that's it. And beyond that, I'm not even going to say anything. Because it's today's show, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be the best show ever, of course. But today's show is just biting off more than we could chew in probably 3 or 4 weeks. Because we have like 10 days worth of stuff to recap. At the beginning of that, we'll talk about why we took so much time off. Why we just vanished without notice on that Thursday. And why we weren't here yesterday. So we will address all of those things. So I don't know, just the kind of transcribe that however you need to, and then we'll recap with what's his guts, with Chris at the end of the show.
Yeah, I mean, Chris is the one to transcribe, and that's not my problem.
Fantastic, excellent. We'll do that. And we have Indiana Jones news today.
Okay. You know what? I tried doing a weekend geek, and that was too painful.
Yeah.
It just hurt. And plus, I realized why go off of the work of doing it, because I know this week's going to be insane, and you wouldn't get to it.
No, it's true. If you'd give
that's
us a week,
wash, forget it.
Yeah.
We'll come back next week with that fun.
To come back refreshed and ready. Next week, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Aaron Keek in the city of Durant. Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
All right. There you go. That's Aaron Durant. All right. Anywho. All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How you doing?
Oh, boy.
Best holiday ever?
Best holiday ever.
Yeah.
Best New Year ever, too. I'm off to a flying start.
I honestly...
Should we talk about the cars?
That's the thing is, I honestly... Well, let's talk about the news and what's coming up there. I really, this is my failing. It is me. This is all on me. This is my failing as a radio host that I can't even begin to prioritize the things to talk about today. So I'm going to think about that a little bit. In the meantime, in between time, Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification.
Oh my, there's too much to catch up on. Henry Kissinger makes a rare public appearance and delivers a eulogy at Gerald Ford's funeral. Some other important people died over the holidays, too. Something described as Dick Clark, a reasonable facsimile, appeared on television last night, or New Year's Eve. Brittany is escorted, carried out of a Las Vegas night spot after passing out.
Fantastic.
Kate Moss's people say reports of her marriage to Pete Doherty are false, and George Michael is charged with being unfit to drive. It took months for that to be determined.
Good to see that the wheels of justice move rapidly over there. All right, there you go. That's it. All right.
They're taking down the Christmas tree at Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Are they?
I saw that thing yesterday. It's huge.
Sad. It's huge.
I know. I'm glad that we have that whole abandoned, that aborted thing about the pyramid. Maybe next Christmas.
No, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, at a certain point, as soon as I saw like the fifth estimate in a row, a guy saying it was going to take 1,016,000 beer cans, I just sort of scuttled that.
Were you trying to match that tree? Because that thing is enormous.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Yeah.
Well, I figured it was a few thousand something. I mean, it was 16 and I laughed at the first few of those. Like, the first guy was like, Rick, I've calculated it out. By my estimations, it will take 16 million. And I was just sort of like, ha-ha. And then I got like eight or nine of those in a row. And then one from the engineering department across the hall. And at that point, I just realized the jig was up. There's no way. Not even the massive drinking power of our audience. I mean, we'd need at least a month for that. So there's no way. So maybe this is sometime in the coming year, in 07, as they say in the marketing department, we'll revisit the beer meet. It wasn't meant to be. It was a Christmas miracle meant not to happen. All right. Is there some unpleasant text messaging that is...
Yes.
Something you'd like to share with the group?
No, I just had a horrible New Year's. I had the worst New Year's of my life.
What you shouldn't do is talk about it here on the radio.
I know. Ugh. Yeah. And then I woke up the next morning after having the most terrible New Year's of my life to finding out...
shouldn't do is talk about it on the radio.
No.
In no way will that make you feel better.
No, it's such BS. I just can't deal with it right now.
Fires on the home front.
I know. Yeah, well, let me first of all address the car.
Which car are you talking about? Should we just turn off the mono bed here? It no longer feels like... Thank you. There you go. I don't know if that takes too much energy away from the beginning of the show. 1 week away, 2 weeks away, and I forget how to do everything. I don't know if that diminishes the energy too much, but it does feel like... It does feel like we've now entered the section of the program where there's just stuff that we got to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I was forced to open the show once... Before the holidays, and I couldn't remember how you did it.
I can't do it.
And
I couldn't remember the call letters of the radio station, what the phone number was, anything.
I think the mono bed should go back up. I think that the lack of mono bed, I think you should... Yeah, there you go. I think it was just too loud.
Okay.
I'm out of practice. I'm all rusty and so forth. Man, you want to talk about rusty? Don and Mike are back tonight after like eight.
Oh, really?
Tonight, so Don and Mike fans, tonight is the night. Don and Mike return tonight at 7 p.m. right here on this very fine radio station, part of the CBS family.
Ooh, I'm going to listen to that.
I'm totally going to listen to that because
I missed the reverb.
I want to know what the deal with those guys is because I heard all kinds of different stories. I mean, this is not like I heard the secret inside stories. It was all over the trades and gossip, whatever. But those guys have been gone since, 6 weeks, 7 weeks? I mean, it's been almost 2 months. I mean, it's been a long time. So Don and Mike are back tonight after almost a two-month hiatus, and there was a whole lot of it. I don't really know the answer. I heard that they were having a fight with each other, they were having a fight with CBS, or they were having a fight with some other show, or it was a technical thing, or... Whatever. So I don't know. But so after 2 months, Don and Mike are back tonight at 7 o'clock. So I imagine that they will spend probably the first 90 minutes talking about whatever it is that resulted in them being gone for 2 months. All right. Well, let's give a broad overview of what we're going to talk about. Because here's the thing. We're going to get right into the story, and then Bob Costantini's going to call with his special brand of whimsy. So...
Do you want me to give you a brief summary?
Well, let me give... I'm doing this debate style. We'll give a broad, like some bullet points, and then we'll go back and expand on each of them. We need to talk about why we were gone suddenly, why we came here Wednesday, and then we were gone for then 2 weeks. Sort of Don and Mike style, actually. Then we talk about what we did over Christmas, then talk about what we all did for New Year's, because I know there's nothing more gripping to the audience than me sitting on the floor of Aaron's apartment and playing Tetris Attack with his girlfriend or his wife. There's that. There's our vehicular troubles, and then there's... Whatever other troubles may be ailing us today.
What happens if one doesn't have problems?
Tim is as carefree as can be.
I don't think I have a place on today's program.
I think Sarah and I were sort of trouble magnets for you over the holiday. I think we sort of absorbed all of your difficulties as well. Let's do it chronologically. So here's it. So people ask, because we don't ever take vacation. We typically don't take... I don't think I've taken a sick day, and I don't see that to be like heroic, like working guy. It is not what I don't get sick a lot, and when I do, I don't get sick very badly. And plus, I'm just, as I told somebody earlier, I had a lot of time off in 2005. So in 2006, I didn't really feel... I had all the vacation I needed in 2005.
What did you do in 2005 again?
Nothing. I sat at home on my ass.
Oh, that's exactly what I did.
Unemployed radio a-hole. That's all I did. I sat around and waited for people to call me, waited for people to hire me. Neither of those things happened. And 2005, as I've said before, 2005 was kind of a downer for me because not only were we unemployed, but it was my first ever unemployed Christmas ever since I was 15, I think. I don't think I've ever had a Christmas where I was unemployed.
Oh, you haven't lived.
I know. That's a special look. And if anybody out there in the sound of my voice was unemployed or you've been unemployed at Christmas, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to rub it in, but it's a special kind of depression when you're unemployed at Christmas. Sarah had a job.
It was like a 4 a.m. miserable early morning job.
You had a job you hated. Tim had some stuff he does on the outside. I think I was the one who was just flat out completely unemployed and jobless. And so that's a whole lot of baby. I'd buy you a present, but I'd just be using your money anyway. And you're just sitting at home wanting to hang yourself from the highest bough. I don't like to take a lot of time off, and I'm lucky, and I've said for the longest time that we're just the luckiest bastards on earth, that we have this job and we get paid poorly, but get paid to do this. And so, like, what kind of goal would I have? Like, someday I will not have this job, whether it's next week or next month or 50 years from now. There will be some day when I don't get paid to come in and do this. And every day doing this is a day that I don't spend, like, working on a road crew somewhere wishing I was dead. When I get days off or vacation, I just don't know what to do. Because I'm such a slave to structure, and I'm just such an anal retentive guy, and I just sit around staring at my day planner, wondering where I'm supposed to be. And so days off, they just freak me out. Like, I just sit at home, and when noon rolls around or 11 o'clock or whatever, I just sit and sort of gibber to myself, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now, and I can't relax, I can't do anything. But the Wednesday before Christmas, we were here doing the show, and we were going to plow all the way through up until the holidays. And then on Wednesday, my stomach just started doing these, I don't want to gross everybody. I'm just going to say.
You had a stomach bug.
I had a stomach bug. And how will I put this? It is.
I've heard you talk about it before. It's gross.
I didn't say anything disgusting. It was the. How shall I put this? It was the most unpleasant kind of stomach bug. And we all know what we're talking about there, don't we? It was the it was the most unpleasant kind of stomach ailment. And that's no good. You know. It's hard to get into a long, drawn-out conversation about anything when that's the case. Especially, by the way, when thank you for closing the bathrooms on this floor. They're supposed to be open by January. That hasn't happened. So you have to go up to, like, the 19th floor every time you want to use the bathroom and not have some salesperson, like knocking on the door trying to... Every time you want to try to take a whiz without Taylor Swift outside. So I felt so bad at the end of Wednesday's program. And then it turned out that Sarah was going to be gone on that Friday anyway, going to Bremerton. And it was all, like, very chaotic. And finally, I just pulled the ripcord. I emailed everybody at, like, 9 o'clock on that Wednesday night. I'm like, screw it. Sarah's gone on Friday anyway. We're going to be gone the following week. Or Tim's going to be gone. The hell with it. Scotty's already preparing best ofs. F it. We're just going to take a sick day. Which I felt like, and I felt just like such a big namby-ass doing that. I just felt like such a sissy taking a sick day. But we finally did, and here's why it ended up being a really great thing. Taking that sick day on Thursday ended up being the best thing we could have done because that Friday, the Friday before Christmas, this studio right here where we do our show completely went down. It died totally and right before showtime. The computers went dead. Everything went 100% dead. And we had taken a sick day that day, but we couldn't have done the show in here if we'd wanted to. They ended up playing the best ofs out of a tiny little production closet. Poor Kristen Bowie and Tim are shoved in there trying to, like, broadcast these best ofs out of there.
Yeah.
So, and best ofs that we would not have had I not taken that Wednesday off. So I don't believe in, like, fate and karma and whatever, but if I had not called in sick the day before, we would not have had best ofs for that Friday, and we would have been screwed. You would have been hearing, like, 4 hours of old crusty-ass Jim Cramer reruns on that Friday. So,
and nobody needs that.
Nobody needs that. And so then we were off for a week. We were off the next week because Tim was gone half the week. Tim was gone the whole week. Sarah was gone part of the week. Scotty ended up being gone. And so finally I was just like, screw it. We're just going to take it off all the way. We're going to do what every other stupid show on earth does and just be gone until today, which I didn't really like doing. But, you know, what are you going to do? And so we did that. And... So now we're never, ever taking it. And, it was the first day we were off, too. When we were off, like, one day and people started dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a day and a half. James Brown, dead. off 2 days. Gerald Ford, dead. James Garner, dead. Saddam Hussein. And how weird was that? The goddamn Saddam Hussein thing. I mean, those people don't screw around. That's a whole lot of guilty. And we're going to hang you within 30 days. How's tomorrow? Bam, dead. You know, and it's like, I remember checking, like, I was, this is how lame I am. I'm sitting in a restaurant, and I'm checking my Motorola Q, my little handheld BlackBerry type thing. I'm checking the news, and like, every time I hit refresh, like, something else is, Saddam arrested, Saddam on trial, Saddam convicted, Saddam to hang in 30 days, Saddam buried. You know, it's like every time I would update it.
Apparently that hang was just the only thing that works in the entire country.
And apparently the trapdoor that they used to hang him didn't work all that well either. Mm-hmm. Because if you saw the hanging of Saddam Hussein, which I did, and we'll talk about, we can talk about that later. Hold on, Saddam hanging. You know, I should just let people call up today and vote on what they want us to talk about.
Okay.
Let people call up and just and guide the show and ask about things from the past 2 weeks, and then I will ruminate on them. I'll be like, that's what it's going to be someday when I'm old and broken down. I'll be at a state fair, and I'll be like, we'll rant for a dollar booth. And people will come by and they'll give me, hey, give me that rant about Starbucks and how they use fancy names for things like medium and large. They'll give me a dollar and I'll go, yeah, fine. What is the deal with Starbucks? Why can't they just say large? I don't even know what a venti is. Give me my coffee. That'll be a dollar. And then the guy, my coffee, and I'll wait for the next person to come along. We should just let people do that today. People can call up today. If you'd like to call up today and request something that happened in the last 2 weeks, I will then ruminate on it and give you my thoughts. If you don't want to call, that's fine, too. This is going poorly. This whole wrap-up, there's just too much to talk about. And I've got the Bob Costantini looming ahead in mere moments. Oh, look. Look at everybody's calling now. Jesus Christ. Haven't lost a step, Emerson. It's 503-733-2970.
At least they remember the number.
503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You know what it is? This car, this show is like a car that hasn't been started in like 6 months. You start it up and there's just all kinds of crap in the engine. And the only way to clean it out is just to sit there and rev it as fast as you can for like an hour. So that's just going to be the way it is, baby. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with some of your calls. People directing me to dance like a monkey. We'll talk to Bob Costantini from The Hill. Later on, Jim Roop, also Dick Giuliano, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We will recap the worst holiday season that any of us have ever, ever, ever had. Rick Emerson Show is back. We are live. Stay there. We return after this.
Good God Almighty.
Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. It's Tuesday, January 2nd, 2007.
Kneel before Zod.
It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We have inexplicable phone calls to get through here in a while. Later on, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, Jim Roop, Dick Giuliano, and so forth. But before that, ladies and gentlemen, what more exciting, gripping, thrilling, compelling way could there possibly be to bring in this new year, to ring in 2007, than with the man, the legend, the seething, bottomless cauldron of journalistic excitement that is...
Eating cauldron, thank you.
Hello, Bob. How are you? And Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year to you and to all your listeners, Rick.
Thank you, sir. I said this early on. We're never taking, and by we, I mean us here at the Rick Emerson Program. We knew we were going to be taking some time off, but it kind of happened. I got sick, and then it was kind of, I got stomach flu, and we took more time off than we planned, blah, 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 blah. But I got to say this. After this last, like, 10 days, we are never again taking time off ever, ever, ever at all of any kind for any reason or purpose. Because as soon as we did that, everybody died.
Yeah.
I really believe that this program being on the air is what keeps people alive. It must be. It's sort of like when I'm in a plane and I stare at the wing and I know that's what keeps the wing affixed during turbulence. Because as soon as this program took some time off, immediately just the Grim Reaper just started coming down and swooping everywhere. So let's talk for a second about this business of Saddam Hussein. And what a weird thing, first of all, and I know that that's not a proper journalistic term, but it's just a weird thing that I mean, I'm so used to that guy being around and being in the world, and the guy that, I'm not saying I grew up with him, but he's always sort of been out there as part of the popular culture and certainly the political culture. And first, as a guy that I just, well, I am old enough or young enough, depending on how you view it, to remember being in school and being taught that Iraq, that they were our allies. I remember in high school, they taught that Iraq was an ally country to the United States, largely because Iraq hated Iran, and it's that whole enemy of my enemy is my friend thing. And then Saddam as a boogeyman during Gulf War I, and then, of course, you know, all of the hunting and the catching and the trying and the whatever. And it's just so bizarre to think that guy he's just gone. He's just in this, and they don't screw around over there. That's where they sentenced him. And then it was like, well, we're going to kill you sometime in the next 30 days. Like, now! And that now he's dead. And so, anyway, I mean, it's a long way of asking. I mean, it seems like it's not going to work out well for anybody. It seems like executing Saddam is just, there is no upside to that for anybody, is there?
Well, nobody expected it to really change as far as the insurgency is concerned and the violence. There may have been a slight uptick in violence. There were increased protests about the Saddam execution. There was tit-for-tat killing among the Sunnis and the Shia in Iraq. You know, it hasn't really changed all that much. It is kind of odd to think that Saddam Hussein is not there and is not the person to which we have been, continuously told is the tyrant, that kind of thing. And that he's the person that had to be taken out as far as Iraq was concerned by this president. And so, but, the administration, interestingly enough, you point out how swift it was. Even some in this administration felt it perhaps was a little too swift, and that they were trying to convince Nouri al-Maliki, the Iraqi prime minister, to hold off the execution at least for a couple of weeks, because there was this Muslim holy day, which started Saturday morning for the Sunnis, which meant the fact that he was executed just before the holy day started, was in a way another insult to the Sunnis. There.
Yeah, so, sure. Well, and because I know the Shia are, you know, they were just dancing a jig, and not only figuratively but actually literally, there were those. God, I mean, just the creepiest thing. And I'll admit it. I'm a perverse person. I sat and I didn't watch the whole thing because I couldn't stomach watching the whole little execution video. But I kind of skipped ahead to the actual moment and then whatever. And there's literally they hang him, and then one of the hangmen literally goes and starts doing a little jig around his like twitching body, like doing a little dance around it. And I mean, it just seems like this. He's needlessly going to throw fire on. I mean, he's almost certainly going to be much more of a martyr than he ever would have been had he just died in prison. I mean, that seems pretty likely.
Well, the administration here in Washington and also the administration in Baghdad, both of them want to find out how this video phone was taken into there to begin with to record this. And it is just the whole atmosphere of that makes it almost seem like this was just pure Shia retribution.
It's terrifying.
And, you know, we took him out quickly to make sure we hung him. That kind of thing does not really sit well here in Washington. It's certainly not going to sit well among the Sunnis in Iraq.
It doesn't really look like it was a... It does not really speak of a proper and judicious execution of the sentence.
No, in particular the way they taunted him beforehand with the name of Muqtada al-Sadr, who is the Shiite cleric who doesn't like the United States much more than any of the Sunnis do, really.
So, anyway, suppose the United States, and this is just my observation, it seems like the United States can't be very happy that they went ahead and killed Saddam Hussein, because now there's going to be, I mean, really, now there's nothing the Bush administration, anyway, has to sort of wave to distract us. I mean, he was sort of the MacGuffin that they could use to lead us away from the fact that we never found Osama bin Laden, and we're stuck in this hideous war, and this is really nothing. They got nothing now. They have no diversionary device now.
But in the end, now Rick, he was just a bit player, really.
Yeah.
The insurgency, the sectarian violence had really overtaken Saddam Hussein. I mean, him sitting in a U.S. prison for a long time there, really with no great control over what was happening out in his own, in what used to be his country. Basically, he was. He became a bit player in all of this, but, you know, in a way, now he's a martyr to many of the Sunnis.
It is strange to think that this war that we are now 3,000 American soldiers dead deep into started over getting rid of that guy. You're right. It is strange to think that initially when we went to war in Iraq, that he was the deal. He was the top of the pyramid. It was solely and totally about that guy. And you're right, now he's almost just an afterthought. And I don't know when that happened. I don't know when they sort of rearranged the game on us to where he was, to where we don't even really care about him. It's strange. Is this changed the day-to-day life for American soldiers who are over in Iraq right now? Is this, or is it just...
I can't imagine it did. Truthfully, it's hard to imagine. You can't even tell whether there was a serious upsurge in violence over there because, the violence is perhaps at its height right now. It's really kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
But over 100 U.S. Soldiers and Marines were killed in the month of December, and so it's, it doesn't seem to, and it isn't likely to really change their day-to-day living.
And moving quickly from the morbid to the ridiculous, is it true that Chief Justice John Roberts is complaining about the fact that he only makes $170,000 a year, and he called that, quote, grievously unfair?
He makes actually more than that. He makes more than $200,000 a year. What he is concerned about is that most U.S. district judges make $165,000 a year. Which is interesting because at the end of the year, these annual messages from the Chief Justice tend to be about the fact that they need more judges. In the past, William Rehnquist was famous for that, actually. And to have John Roberts do this this message about the need to increase the pay rate for judges all along the way, was quite different, and that's all he talked about, really. So it certainly is weighing on him. But I can tell you right now, Congress would have to increase the pay rate for federal judges. They aren't going to do that until, first off, when the new Congress takes over, they increase the minimum wage, Rick.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell John Roberts that I would gladly take 20% of his salary in exchange for not being fireable. So you just pass that along. It's a message from me to you to him.
Yes.
All right. Bob Costa, are you there all week, or is this the only day we have the pleasure of your company, Bob?
I'm here in the mornings all week.
Fantastic. All right, my friend, we'll talk to you soon, and Happy New Year to you.
Be good, Rick. Happy New Year
to you. There you go. Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, right there.
I still can't tell if he likes you or not.
I don't know, but you know, today was the day. See, you could tell, though. That's a guy who knows what he's talking about. He was a rock today.
Mm-hmm.
He was an oak. All right. Have you watched the Saddam death video?
No, I have no desire.
I hope he doesn't mind me saying. Squid sent it to me, like, an hour after it was done. Like, Saddam Hussein killed at, like, midnight, like, 1 o'clock. Squid, Saddam death video, watch it now. And it's, like, 6 minutes long, and it's freaky.
I saw the beginning of it, like, when he's standing there. I don't want to see it.
I saw the whole thing, and it's, because, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be better than that. I mean, I'm not better than that. I'm better than almost nothing. And it is terrifying. It is terrifying to watch. There's in American cinema now, or cinema, and then we'll get to these calls. In American cinema, there is this sort of technique that they use a lot now, sort of the Blair witchifying of American cinema, where they try to make things sort of more horrific by making them look more real, and it's like a jerky sort of handy cam kind of feel. And Blair Witch is probably the best example of that, where it's like a real low quality feel to kind of make it seem more scary. This, though, you can tell it's like the real, because it's like a cell phone camera, and clearly a surreptitious taping. This is obviously not like an official film. This is like a Michael Richards type thing, where there's some guy in the back. And occasionally, you can tell, because occasionally you can see him sticking, you can tell he's sticking the camera, like, back in his pocket. And then he takes it back out again. So he's obviously some guy who's not supposed to be filming this. And, I'm not going to post a link to it on my site or anything. I mean, if you really...
You can probably find it.
It's not like I'm better than that or something. It's unpleasant. And I don't want somebody to be like, is this porn? And then watch it by mistake. It's out there. I'm not morally opposed to people watching. It's just icky.
So did you watch the whole thing?
I watched. It's 6 minutes long, and I watched the first two or three minutes, and then I just couldn't take it anymore. And I sort of, but I am morbid. I did skip ahead to the actual, like, dropping and the hanging. They let him hang there. They just not all on there for 10 minutes. But I watched the first couple minutes where they're leading him up. And And I could tell they weren't going to hang him yet because he wasn't standing on the little trapdoor.
Mm-hmm.
He was standing up to the side. So I watched that, and I can't say this enough. It is terrifying. It's horrifying to watch because it doesn't, like, not a big secret. I'm a big bleeding heart, and I'm opposed to the death penalty. You know, it's just for a lot of reasons that we don't need to get into now, but everybody knows that. It's not a thing we talk about because I'm not a hack. But, you know, it's just, I'm not a big fan of the government killing people because the government gets almost nothing right. And so I'm really opposed to taking a completely corrupt and incompetent group of people and putting them in charge of killing folks because that seems like it's going to go wrong. But at least in the American judicial system, like, there's a sort of regimentation to it. Like, it is sort of sterile, you know? Like, there's the priest, and then there's whatever, the warden, and then there's the guy who pulls the switch, and then there's the witnesses behind the glass, and then it's all sort of, you know, it's all sort of proper it's very sort of proper and prim in a way. And this, man, this is just so not that. This is like, it's like in a storeroom somewhere. It's like in some guy's garage. And there's like this rickety, rusted out platform that he's standing on top of. And the hangman, we've all seen the old pictures of the hangman where it's the guy and he's wearing like a cassock, you know, like a black robe, and he's got like the black hood on, and he's, you know, the black hooded man pulling the switch. This is not that. This is like a bunch of guys. They look like truck drivers, like longshoremen, like big burly guys in like winter parkas. And then they have hoods on, but it's not like an executioner's hood like you see in the cartoons. It's like a ski mask, like the guy who comes and robs you at the bank. It looks like
the creepy,
like carjackers.
Oh, like creepy Al-Qaeda videos,
totally,
where, like,
totally.
You see people assassinating Americans.
Yeah, like the Black Tuesday guys.
That's
or whatever
weird.
They were. And anyway, and so it's like four of those guys. And Saddam is standing there. And they're, like, you know, doing whatever. And then they start screwing with him. And I didn't know later until I read the translation. But they're all like, you know, you will burn in hell and God damned you to hell. And then I do have to say this, though. Look, and clearly, no one will ever mistake Saddam Hussein. No one will ever confuse him with being a decent human being. You know, and we can all say this, too, that clearly that guy deserved it. I mean, the guy had it coming. I mean, everybody knows it. And my whole thing, it's not that there aren't people who deserve to die. There are lots of people who deserve to die. There's people out there, probably people, you know, that you know. They have it coming. And my thing is, you just, as tempting as it really is, and it really is tempting, every single day it's tempting to me, and I know to you. Every day you meet people, you're like, that guy has it coming. But it's like you just can't go around giving it to every guy that has it coming. That's my deal. But so clearly Saddam had it coming and worse because he's just a bastard and like bastard, really.
But that's still unpleasant to watch.
It is unpleasant.
It was weird looking at forums this weekend, too, and everyone's cheering about it, making jokes. Like, it just seems so morbid.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to say that I'm going to, like, sad for him or whatever, because whatever, screw him, you know? There's like a bunch of mass graves that guy's responsible for, so F him. I don't really care. But I will say this. He's a bad guy, a terrible person, and so forth, but I have to give it up to Saddam Hussein, which I never thought I would say, for this one thing, that as they're leading him up and they're putting him on the platform, and I read the translation later from, like, CNN or something, where they're like, the guy's like, oh, do you have any final words, you cowering dog, Saddam Hussein? And Saddam Hussein is like, yes, you can all go to hell. So, come on. I mean, that's pretty great. You gotta give it up for that. I love guys whose final words in the death penalty chair, like, F you! Like, I love those guys. There was this guy, Michael Gilmore. Michael Gilmore was the guy who wrote the book. Was it Gary Gilmore? Gary Gilmore, who's the guy who was executed by firing squad. He's the guy that the book The Executioner song is about. And he was the first person killed by firing squad in, like, I don't know, like 80 years or something. In Utah, of course, because they're savages. But they strap Gary Gilmore into the chair. And, I mean, that's a thing from a different era where they're getting ready to execute him by firing squad. I mean, you don't hear about that happening anywhere. And they strap him in. They're like, any final words? And he's just like, yeah, let's do it. You know, just like, right on. Yeah, final words. Let's do it. So, yeah, so Saddam is like, final words. And he's like, yes, you can all go to hell. And then they're like taunting him. They're like taunting him with like the name of like his enemy or whatever, and you know, and they're like doing whatever. And then this is the final screw you to Saddam. This is the final thing they did, because the hangman really gets the last word on these things. There is he that's last tag. The hangman really gets the final say, because Saddam is, quote, religious. And like all people who, like everyone who's killed thousands and thousands of people and put them in mass graves, he's a deeply religious man, and he did it for God. Mm-hmm. And they asked Saddam, they're like, so, you know, do you want to pray? And he's like, yes. And he starts doing the whatever, you know, there is only one God but Allah and blah, blah, blah. And he gets like halfway through the prayer, and then the guy just pulls the lever.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty great. He's like, Saddam, you may not pray. You know, and Saddam's like, there is only one God. You know, and so the hangman is just like a total, like, psych, gone. And so
wow.
then he hangs, and it's like, and that's the one part I watched where he, like, you know, and he falls.
Did his neck snap immediately, or was he?
Oh, no, yeah, no, he snapped, like, immediately.
Oh, gross.
Diana from downtown was speculating. She's like, well, because she knows these things because she's dangerous. And she was in, you know, she was like a cold warrior or whatever, and she's like,
oh yeah,
and she knows all about that culture.
Mm-hmm.
Too, the Iraqi culture, but I mean that the culture of like some guys taking you in a warehouse and killing you. But she's like, you know, and she's like, the thing is, if they really don't like you, then they make the rope too short, and then you just strangle for 15 minutes. And she's like, it's all about the length of the rope. If they want you to go fast, it's a long rope. If they want you to strangle slowly and suffocate on your own blood, it's 10, you know, it's 10 inches too short. But it was long, and he was obviously dead right away. But then, creepiest thing, the hangman guys in their mobster truck thief, you know, their ski masks, you know, like the guys who come and like burn down your restaurant, they have their ski masks on, and they all go down there, and then they do like a jig around the body. So Saddam is all like in the background, like some horrible pinata, just like, and in the front they're doing like a la 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 da, 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 like in,
oh my
and
god,
they're all dancing in the background, and they're doing like a hey hey woo doo doo ta ta, you know, like in front of, it's just like, and I'm watching,
that sounds too bizarre for words,
and I'm watching this, and I'm going, Jesus Christ Almighty, what is this? It's, but
that sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch.
It's insane. But that's what Constantine was talking about. Is like, it's nothing that like the civilized world looks at and goes, well, you know, justice was served and he was executed under the accordance with the law and as part of the legal process. It doesn't look like a guy, regardless of what you think about the death penalty, he doesn't look like a guy that was like tried, appealed, guilty again, appeal, guilty, and then they finally take him and, you know, and in accordance with all legal and medical procedures, they remove him from this world. It was like, this is a guy we grabbed off the back of a truck and we have now taken him out back and shot him in the head. I mean, it looked like a lynching. It really did. So
I'm glad you talked about it because I don't want to see it.
Yeah. Well, he's a dick anyway, so F him. He's dead. All right, so it's 5:03, so we should take a couple of these, and then we got to come back with the noon news hour. The list of important things that happened to us over the holidays that we haven't gotten to is immense. So, let's see. Well, let's just start it off. Hold on. Quiet. Whoa, there's a little echo there. Hold on.
Hello.
Just hold on a second there, pal.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens.
Started off appropriately. George in Wilsonville, hello.
Rick, Sarah, Tim, Scotty, everybody. I don't ever want to live on a planet without you guys. I need to take out, like, life insurance on y'all so I can get counseling if something ever happens to you.
We were here. Well, we weren't here. We had best of.
We were kind of here.
We were kind of here. We were in the building. We just didn't care enough to come in.
I had to keep tracking Rick down. I'm like, you want to say something? Nah.
And then I would just come in to screw with people. Hi, we're in the building. Now, best ofs. Yeah.
Well, thank God you're back and in one piece. And yeah. Listen, I was wondering, you know, at the beginning of the war when we invaded Iraq, remember all that they were speculating that if we caught Saddam, how would we know if we got him because he has 7 surgically altered body doubles?
Right.
And I'm sure Clyde, I have to bring it up, you know. Clyde's going to do it sooner or later.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's, whatever. It's, you know, it was Saddam Hussein and he's dead and... him.
Well, that's good enough for me.
Seriously, listen, I mean, you know, yeah, F that guy.
Have you ever, you know, when watching The Wire, have you ever noticed how Bunk seems like to be a black Clyde?
Now, here, that is true. I never, you mean physically speaking?
In every, his whole emanations, everything.
His persona.
Yeah.
Now, and keep in mind, I haven't watched season 4 yet. I'm waiting for it to restart.
I'm on season 2.
Yeah, The Wire is currently the best program on television, and that's only because The Shield is not on right now. The Wire on HBO is currently the single best program.
Definitely.
On television, period, hands down. But you're right, the character of Bunk, who is a large black man on the homicide division, he really is Clyde. You're right, if Clyde were a large black man, Well, Clyde is kind of a large man anyway, so if you simply made Clyde black, he would be the character of Bunk. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah,
you
want the Clyde food and everything like that.
No, that's true. All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, one question.
Yeah.
How is it that Avon Barksdale can hatch plans on the prison phone? That's what I want to know.
I think about that, too. We can't get caught up in this because it's a show that most people don't watch, and I don't want to be nitrifying here.
No,
it's true. Avon Barksdale, like when Stringer Bell or somebody comes to talk to him, and they're like, so, yo, I want you to go, and I want you to take that guy, and I want you to shoot him in the head, and then I want you to sell some heroin to children. And I'm thinking, don't they monitor prison phone calls? But you know what? I don't really know. Maybe there's like some lawyer-client thing, and I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I know from experience in Oregon that it's definitely monitored. And, oh, by the way, did you get that video of the kid
what?
Who was trying to knock the other kid off of his bike?
Wait, let's back up here. What do you mean you know from experience?
No, I experienced the Oregonian, and that's how I found out about that.
Have you been to prison?
No, never. Me?
No, he said he read the Oregonian.
Oh, you read the Oregonian.
Yes.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, that Darwin video of that kid. It's brilliant. We'll talk about that later today.
Can you post that? That's great.
Darwin video. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Happy New
Year. Take care.
There you go. All right.
It doesn't involve a child dying, does it?
Oh, it does, but he has it coming. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Mike.
Did you pick him up?
Here, I'm right here, I'm right here.
Hi,
sorry,
what's
I had
up?
Mute on, dude. Sorry about that.
That's okay. What's up, brother?
No, now I'm all intrigued with the Darwin video. That's
oh, happening. No, there's a video. Really? I hate to say this. I hate to sound cold. There's a video of a kid, I think he's, you know, he's probably eight, like 17, 18, 19, you know, late teenager.
Anymore?
Not anymore. Well, forever. getting killed. But I got to tell you this. Here's the thing. If ever that you're going to watch a video where that happens, and you're like, yeah, it's this.
All right.
No, it's true.
Score.
Can I just describe it real quickly? Or
please do. No, dude, you did a great job on the Saddam thing.
Here's the thing. There is, and I'll post it maybe later.
All right.
There's, after not posting the Saddam thing, I'll post it. No, it's great, and you can tell it's real, too.
How can it be great if it involves a child dying?
It's not a child. He's a late teenager, and he's an a-hole, and he's a bastard.
Young man.
How can you tell?
He's a dick. Here's how you can tell. Here's how you can tell, Sarah, and it's absolutely real. I've watched it in slow motion hundreds of times.
So creepy.
It is a bunch of a-hole idiot teenage boys being a-hole idiot teenage boys. And I was one, but I was not one to this degree. They're in the back of a car. There's like one dude driving and another dude in the passenger seat. And then there's like two dudes in the back seat. And so it's a bunch of, like, idiot teenage boys, and they're driving along, and one of them, as the kids sometimes do these days, one of the kids in the back seat has a little video camera with him. And so they're driving along the street with this little video camera. And again, it's just a car full of teenage boys. And they're driving along, and they're in the car, right? And they come up, they're driving down the road in this car, and they come up behind a bicyclist. And the kid says, hey, watch this, I'm going to hit the bicyclist. And
okay.
No, wait for it.
That seems like a jerk.
Yeah, no, the kid is in the back seat, and his friend is filming him, and he's like, dude, check this out. He opens the door as they're driving along, thinking that he is going to take down this bicyclist with the car door. But instead, as he opens the car door and leans out to watch himself hitting the bicyclist, he slips. He falls out the door, and a car immediately comes by and hits him in the head and kills him.
Oh, God.
It's genius.
Okay.
And as a bike rider, I think that is a tremendous thing.
It is so great. And the video, and then whoever made the video slows it down 3 or 4 times so you can watch it. It all happens in like 3 seconds where the guy's like, dude, check this out. Opens the door to hit that way. He does hit the bicyclist. The bicyclist is fine. You can tell he just nicks him. But he hits the bicyclist and then slips and falls out of the car door, and immediately a truck comes along and just clips him right in the face. It's so satisfying. You watch that and you're like, sometimes miracles do happen.
Well, Rick, as a dude who got hit with a phone book in the morning, riding to work one morning,
A phone book?
Yeah, kids. I ride from Oregon City.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's my voicemail.
Yeah.
And kids came by, turned off their lights on a car, threw out a phone book, nailed me with it. It happens to all the... I only ride, for 6 months out of the year, so...
Oh, no, this is so satisfying. And I said, he's some teenage a-hole, and yeah, you can tell that he thinks it's the height of hilarity to hit a bicyclist with his car door, and then they show it in slow motion, and it's... You can see just the look of, like, don't on his face.
Grab him
as he's slipping out the door, And then, like, a car comes along and just, bam, fender in the face.
Okay, I kind of want to watch
it. And there's no living through that. I mean, they don't say, like, and he's dead, but you watch this and you're like, that guy's hosed.
Look, dude, it's noon. I got to go. I want to hear the Tim Riley, and I just want to hear what happened to your guys' cars.
And our lives.
And our lives.
What happened to you at New Year's?
Oh, well, we can do it after the news hour.
We got a break. We'll come back with the noon news hour, then we'll talk cars.
Missed you guys. Something terrible. I'm glad you're back.
Thank you, Mike. All right, there you go. That's Mike. I'll post the Darwin video. It's pretty satisfying.
All right, I want to watch it during the break.
We'll come back with Tim Riley in the noon news hour. Then we'll talk about Sarah's car, my car, and our mutually ruined lives. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's the Wonders. Come on.